John chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. We invite your presence here to be with us and to speak to us. And I humble myself before you and help us to just be encouraged and challenged by your word, God, and to help us to pray for our church and our community and the world, and help us to just connect with you, God, and really feel your presence and draw nearer to you, God. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 20, 21, it says, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." I want to share with you something that God has been highlighting in my heart since just a few days ago, actually, from the weekend. Over the weekend, God spoke to me personally about this, and then I felt like the Sunday message basically just confirmed what God had been sharing. So, you know, we've been talking about the missional lifestyle. We've had two Sundays. Pastor Ricky gave a message on the power of the Holy Spirit that we need to live lives conducive to the Holy Spirit so that we can go and do the mission that God has called us to. And then yesterday, really, PSM kind of talked about the mission, that we are called to go, right? We're called to go and represent Christ wherever we go. And that's kind of what the Holy Spirit has been convicting me about. In the passage today, it says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When the Father sent Jesus Christ to earth, he sent him to do the Father's work, right? There's a passage where Jesus says, "There's food that I have that you don't know about, and that is to accomplish the work of that the Father has sent me to do." And that's what he was doing, to bring people to the Father, to bring people to the gospel, right? To tell them about the love of the Father, to reveal the Father to the people. And part of that was by doing good works, right? Jesus went around doing miracles and performing great signs and wonders and doing good to the world to show them that the kingdom of God had come. And part of that, and the other part of that, was to preach and to teach, right? Jesus always, often, you know, whenever he had the opportunity, he would teach about the kingdom and preach and tell people to repent and come back to the Father. And so in our, in the church, we call this, I don't know if you've heard Pastor Sam teach on this, but we call it proclamation and demonstration, right? One is proclaiming. We're teaching and we're preaching. We're proclaiming the gospel. We're proclaiming the kingdom. And we are teaching them what that's all about, what the gospel is all about, what the love of God is all about. We use our words. The second is demonstration, right? Living out the kingdom, living out the love of God, living out the kindness of God, the grace of God, living out the gospel, what it means to have kingdom lifestyle. And we see that in scriptures. We see that with Jesus. We see that with the disciples. They would, perform a miracle or bring good to people, or they would share what they have, take care of the poor, feed the crowd, and then they would proclaim who the Father is, who Jesus is. When we do our discipleship training, discipleship course, Growing in Christ, there's a chapter on witnessing, Mark 5:19. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Mark 5:19. And when we talk about it, we go, oh, what are some challenges? You know, how do you witness to people? And and discussion is always great, but one thing that always comes up is, the best way to witness is to live out the gospel, right? One of the brothers in class said, your actions speak much louder than words, right? How you live your life, how you behave at work, and how you treat people at work. All these things, they will see. They know that you're a Christian, and they'll see your actions, they'll see what you're doing, and it will speak louder than words. And it's the general consensus of the group is that, yeah, we need to really live out the gospel. We need to show people what it's like to be a Christian. And I think that's absolutely true. But here today, I just want to challenge us, and God's been speaking to me about the necessity of using words, right? To actually proclaim. The demonstration is good and it's necessary, and we need to demonstrate the kingdom of God and show people that our lives are different, our values are different, our priorities are different, but we also cannot neglect the ministry of teaching and preaching. You don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be an ordained, you know, minister to teach and preach. God has spoken to you, God has taught you, He has revealed Himself to you, and there are times when we cannot stay silent, and we need to speak, and we need to teach. There is a famous quote believed to have been said by a famous saint, Saint Francis of Assisi, and I'm sure you've heard of it. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words, right? And that quote is often used to kind of point out to people that you shouldn't just Bible bash people all the time, and you shouldn't speak too much about Christ, but you need to really live out the gospel. And that's true, and it's a nice thing to say, but there is a problem with this quote, and I just looked it up. I read a Christianity Today article on it. Apparently, there is zero evidence that St. Francis of Assisi actually said these words. Of all his biographies, he didn't say this word, preach the gospel at all times or when necessary use words. In fact, if you look at the life of St. Francis, yes, he lived a life that demonstrated the kingdom of God. He lived in poverty, voluntary poverty, and he gave up all the pleasures of this world to really, live for God and live for the kingdom. But he was also known to be a man that preached with conviction and power. And he often, whenever the opportunity arose, he would preach the gospel and speak to people and teach people. And not only with gentleness, but sometimes quite harshly, rebuking sin and pointing out to people how they're disobeying God. And so, we need to learn from this a little bit. That, because in a way, it's easier just to demonstrate. You know, it's easier to say, I'm just going to live out and show people that I'm a Christian by the way I live. But sometimes it's very scary to speak out the words and to teach and to preach and actually verbally share about Christ, but it's necessary. I read an article this past week, and that's how God started speaking to me. And it's, I think it's a secular news site. It's the Atlantic.com. I don't know if you guys know. Is that secular? I don't know. I think it's a secular one, but it was written by a Christian who was had done a study of listening to young atheists. So the article is titled Listening to Young Atheists, Lessons for a Stronger Christianity. And he basically goes to universities, and if you went to university, especially in the States, you would know that there are these Christian groups within universities, right? There is a campus, it used to be called Campus Crusade for Christ, now it's called Campus for Christ. There is Inner Varsity and different Christian fellowships. There's Korean Christian Fellowship and Chinese Christian Fellowship and Asian American Christian Fellowship, all kinds of Christian fellowship groups. And apparently, they also have these atheist groups. They meet together regularly, and these people, they would share with one another about their unbelief, and they would encourage each other about their unbelief, and sometimes they would even go out and evangelize their atheism, basically. And they would share people why it's silly or ridiculous to believe in God, and they would go out and do that. And you know, then the whole new atheist movement with people like Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, who are much more aggressive in their atheism, in trying to disprove Christianity and calling it, you know, stupid or illogical, all these things. And so what this guy did was he began to interview these college students that were in these groups, very, very involved in these atheist groups, and he would interview them. He just sat them down and he basically asked them this question. You know, he made sure that they didn't feel threatened or anything, and he just asked them, what led you to become an atheist? Basically, what was your journey into atheism? And what he found out by doing this study was that there was a very common pattern, and one of the patterns that he discovered in this study is that many of these young atheists had attended church when they were younger. And it was at the age of 14 to 17 that they decided to leave Christianity. And so for me, I was like, oh my gosh, like my job as a youth pastor is so important that I show them and teach them something that they can really hold on to, that they will not leave their faith as they get a little bit older. But one of the things that he mentions in this article about the reason why these young people leave the faith is that when they're younger in their youth groups, there's a few reasons, but one of them is they don't witness an authentic demonstration of their faith or of faith in Christ from their leaders. So there's an inauthentic demonstration of the faith. And an example of that is basically the lack of passion or the lack of fervency in sharing the gospel. Right? All these serious atheists like Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins, they would be very, they're very, very smart, right? And they're very cutting in their remarks when they do debates. They can be very harsh and they would try and destroy, right, these people that claim to have faith in Christ. But when they personally interact with Christian thinkers that they know of, they have great respect for them because they can see that they have an authentic demonstration of their faith, that they are not shy about their faith, that they go out and they talk about the faith and they try their best to bring people to a knowledge of Christ. And they can respect it. They see that and they see the sincerity of their faith and the conviction of their faith in their hearts, and they say, you know, I respect it. I don't believe it, but you believe it and I respect it. Do you guys know who Penn and Teller are, the magicians, the tall guy and the short guy? The tall guy is Penn, the short guy is Teller. And Penn is the one that talks, Teller is the one that doesn't talk, at least in the show. But Teller can actually speak. It's just an act that they do. Penn speaks, Teller doesn't speak. But Penn Jillette, the tall magician, he's a pretty well-known atheist. Sorry. And he can be quite harsh. He can be very outspoken and abrasive in his speech. But he says this about Christians. He says, I don't respect Christians who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there is a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? That cuts at my soul, you know? How much hate do you have for somebody to know that eternal life is possible, that relationship with God is possible, and to say, you know what, it feels a little socially awkward. You know, I don't want to be that annoying guy. I don't want to be that Christian fanatic, you know? So I'm just not gonna bother with it. And can you think about the weight of what we're saying when we say that? I'm just not gonna bother sharing Christ with this person because I just think it's a little bit awkward and it's kind of difficult and I don't want to put myself in that situation. But yet what is at stake is this person, his or her eternal life, his or her salvation, his or her relationship with God, whether he's going to go to hell or going to heaven. And we just say, you know what, forget it. And another quote from one of the young atheists, he says this, Christianity is something that if you really believed it, it would change your life and you would want to change the lives. You would want to change the lives of others. If you really believed it, it would change your life, and you would want to change the lives of others. But he says, I haven't seen too much of that. And that inauthenticity of faith that he witnessed as he was younger, growing up in youth group, he said, you know what? I don't think this is true. He didn't see anyone living with the conviction that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, only way to God. And I'm so convicted, you know? I think I need to really demonstrate that to my youth group students. But it's not just for youth group students, right? Your colleagues, your friends that know that you're a Christian, but they never hear you share about Christ with them. I wonder if they're sitting there like Penn Jillette saying, man, does he really even believe that it's true? That Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? You guys know what I'm saying. Recently, there's an article that's been floating around on Facebook, and it's about Teddy Hung. He was the triad leader of 14K. I can send you the link if you want to hear it. But he was a boss, basically, of this triad, the second largest triad in Hong Kong, called 14K. And he has a fascinating testimony that I think you should all read. But one thing that really stood out to me is that when he was a triad leader, triad boss, there were 200 Hong Kong pastors that kept calling him. They took turns calling him and sharing with him about Jesus Christ and saying, you need to come to church. You need to believe. And he would get so mad at them. He would say, I don't want to hear it. I'm prepared to go to hell. Get out of my life. But they just did not give up, and they kept calling him. Can you believe 200 pastors? I was so proud of the churches of Hong Kong. I was like, that's amazing that they would risk their lives, right? Visiting this guy, calling this guy, trying to build a relationship with him. And not just demonstrating it, you know, but proclaiming that Jesus is the way, that he needed to repent of his sin and come back to life in Jesus Christ. And eventually, he has a mighty encounter with Jesus that transforms him. And now Teddy Hung is a pastor for the triads. He says he has a church that meets on Tuesday nights because the weekends, triads are busy. They don't have time to come to church on Sunday. And they meet on Tuesday night because no triad member is awake in the morning. Right? They sleep in the morning and they come out at night. So they meet on Tuesday nights, and he keeps his message really short, 15 minutes, so that, you know, these people can hear the gospel. And he takes them through. And it's fascinating. But it began with 200 pastors taking turns calling him and breaking social norms, right? And taking the risk to be socially awkward and taking the risk of getting rejected to say, hey, you need to believe in Jesus. And so I want to encourage us and encourage myself and challenge myself to do this more, to be a little bit more vocal, to be a little bit more aggressive, so to speak, in sharing the gospel. And I know on Sunday, Pastor Sam touched upon it, and you know, we prayed for people that God has placed in our hearts. But this morning, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to see if there's anyone in our lives that God wants us to, you know, speak and teach and share the gospel with, not just through our lives, but through our words. So I'm going to ask Eunice to come and lead us in a song, and let's just go before the Holy Spirit. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, Jesus, that as the Father has sent you, you are sending us out into the world to do your work, to proclaim the kingdom, to demonstrate the kingdom, and to proclaim the kingdom. And I pray that we would be able to do both, God, that we would live our lives worthy of the gospel, that people will see the good works that we do and be drawn to the gospel. But I pray also that we will not be too afraid or too shy or too timid to actually share the gospel verbally, God. And I pray that whenever we can, when the opportunity comes, God, that we would not shy away from actually speaking, but that we would be able to be a little bit more aggressive. And God, if there's anyone in our lives that you are highlighting, that you want us to speak the gospel to. I pray that you would convict us and help us to just follow your leading. Thank you.
You can have Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus.
Thanks, Eunice. Yes, God, thank you. Help us to have an authentic expression of our faith, God. All these things that we sing about, God, all these things that we proclaim or confess to believe, God, I pray that our lives would reflect that and demonstrate that, God. And so thank you, Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us today. And let's pray for our community. Let's go to our prayer focus. Let's pray for our community that's struggling with cancer or going through chemo or recently had surgery. Let's pray for God's power and for God to move and for Him to release healing upon our friends and family members. Let's pray together. Let's pray for those that need salvation as well as healing. Let's pray and stand in the gap for our friends and their family members here on this list. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community that's just struggling with various infirmities. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for a job. Let's pray for God's favor and blessing and His provision for our friends. Let's pray together. Let's go to Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government, and let's pray against the wealth gap. And I want us to pray for ourselves too, like, what can we do? How can we be part of, you know, reducing the wealth gap and doing something in Hong Kong to bring about justice? Let's pray for all the ministries and the churches, and let's pray for God's direction and covering and protection and favor and anointing upon all these different ministries. Let's pray together. As we pray for just the nations, let's also lift up Nepal. And with the earthquake that's happened, there's so much death and trauma and disaster. Let's pray for the presence of God. Let's pray for the peace of God. Let's pray for all the different organizations working in that place to rescue and to bring relief. Let's pray for the Christians in that place to rise up in this time and to really demonstrate the kingdom of God. And I was just told by Jackie that there's a few people among the missing people's list, people that were visiting the area near the base camp area that are missing, that we our church members actually know them personally. So let's just pray for them as well. Let's pray that they would be found. Let's pray that God would watch over and protect our friends and everybody else that's affected by this. Let's pray for Nepal. Let's pray for the staff. If you can please pray for Pastor Sam. All his children have hand, foot, and mouth, which I don't know if that means the adults can have it too, but P. Sam is going to stay in today because he doesn't want to infect anybody else. And let's just pray for this family. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray that before the retreat, everything will be taken care of, and that there will be full healing that comes upon this family. And let's pray for God's special protection over them. And please pray for the rest of the staff. We appreciate your prayers. Let's pray that we would be filled with God's Holy Spirit and God's joy, and that we would be united, and that we would be able to work well together and build the kingdom of God together. So let's pray for the staff. want to ask your special prayer for the staff. I should have mentioned earlier, but the retreat is coming up. It's a very busy season that we would be able to just be strong and work well together, and also to give a praise report that Rachel gave birth to a healthy baby last night, Jacob. So praise God and just pray for healing for her and strength for her. And let's also pray for the worship and sound and media team. Let's pray for a heart of worship, a heart of excellence, and that we would be very attentive to what is going on, especially our sound and media team. So let's lift up this ministry to God. Pray for Arts Anonymous, our arts ministry team. Let's pray for creativity, and let's pray for the Spread ministry as they create this awesome triannual newspaper. And let's pray for the people that are working on the website, that God would give them creativity and how to effectively communicate information to the world. So let's pray for our creativity team. Let's pray for our house churches meeting on Tuesday. Let's pray for every single one that it'll be a powerful time, an anointed time, and let's pray for great discussion and great time of worship and prayer, and that the house churches would be very tight, you know, that there would be a great sense of unity and support and community and love for one another in these house churches, and pray for the leaders of these house churches. Lastly, let's pray for the retreat. Retreat is starting this Thursday night. Let's pray that the team will get here safely. Let's pray for all the logistics, the last minute things, that the staff and the leaders will not miss anything. If we are forgetting anything, that God would pinpoint those things and highlight those things for us. And let's pray for the awesome presence of God to be at the retreat and a real sense of unity amongst the churches. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you. Just want to pray for our church, God. We thank you for your kindness, God, your goodness, your mercy. And we humble ourselves, God, before you. And we trust you, Lord. And we put everything into your hands, God. Help us to spend time with you and to hear from you, God, personally and individually, God, as we have our own prayer time. And we bless everyone here. I bless them with your presence, God, with your love and with your joy, with your peace, God, as they go about their day today, and help us to just please you today, God, with our lives. And we worship you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.
I need to mention the men at our church, and so let's have a special prayer for the men at SP. Let's ask that the Father would weaken the attack and the spirit of lust over the men at SP in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, Father. Let's ask that the Father would weaken the attack and the spirit of pride over the men at SP. Bless our men with humility, meekness. Father, we ask that you would prepare hearts among our men for eternal change at the retreat this year. We ask, God, that you would prepare fertile soil. Father, would you till the fallow ground among the men at our church in Jesus' name? Father, till the untilled ground, Lord, our brothers, our fathers, our sons, our husbands. Till the fallow ground. Father, we pray for men that are coming to the retreat this year that don't know you, that have never heard the name of Jesus, never read the Bible. We ask for salvation to spring up from the ground, righteousness to rain down from the sky, Father, for salvation at the retreat this year, Father, that they would hear the gospel, respond, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. We pray, Father, for prophetic revelation regarding the economy and their jobs and their careers, Lord. Bless our men, Father, with wisdom and revelation at their jobs. Father, we pray for a blessing of purity, chastity over the men at our church in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, that the men at our church would confess their trespasses to one another, pray for one another that they may be repent and be healed, and pray effective, fervent prayers. And Father, we pray for powerful, miraculous testimonies of deliverance and brokenness among the men at our church that they would share with the rest of their brothers. So, Father, would you weaken any attack of the enemy against our men going into the retreat in Jesus' name? Bless them with health physically. We pray that our men would grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God and men. Thank you, Lord.
Just to echo Tyler's sharing just now, I read this morning in Joshua chapter 7 when the Israelites had just defeated Jericho. They'd taken Jericho, and God had told them to not touch any of the cursed things in Jericho. But one of the Israelites took some of the silver and the gold, and he hid it underneath his tent. And then when they tried to attack the Amorites defeated them, and they grieved, and Joshua turned to God and asked him what was going on, why they'd been defeated. And God said to him, from verse 10, God said to Joshua, "Get up. Why are you groveling? Israel has sinned. They've broken the covenant I commanded them. They've taken forbidden plunder, stolen and then covered up the theft, squirreling it away with their own stuff. The people of Israel can no longer look their enemies in the eye. They themselves are plunder. I can't continue with you if you don't rid yourselves of the cursed things. So get started. Purify the people. Tell them, get ready for tomorrow by purifying yourselves. For this is what God, the God of Israel, says. There are cursed things in the camp. You won't be able to face your enemies until you've gotten rid of these cursed things." So Lord, we pray, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that convicts us, Lord. We pray for the hidden things to be brought into the light, Lord, the secret things, Lord, that are hidden underneath the tent that we have buried away. Lord, even though on the surface our tents might look pure, they might look holy, they might look clean, everything might be in order, but underneath, Lord, you see, you are El Roy, you are the God who sees everything. And so, Lord, I pray for the hidden sins, the secrets, Lord, to be brought to the surface so that there would be nothing standing between us and you, Lord, that we would be holy. You have chosen us, Lord. You have called us to be set apart. And so I pray that we would live up to that calling, Lord. Prepare us for this retreat, Lord. I pray this week that we would purify ourselves from all sin, everything that sets itself up against you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. We thank you that we are covered by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that nothing can touch us. And so, Lord, we just pray for humility. We pray for a heart of repentance this week, that as we call out to you, as we humble ourselves, as we fast and pray, Lord, that you would meet with us in a mighty way this retreat, Lord God. Father, we expect you to come. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you here. Reveal yourself to us, oh God. Thank you, Father.
As Juanita was sharing this morning about how Pastor Sam and his family has been feeling ill and how the attacks have been on the head of this church, this chapter came to me from the book of Psalms. In the collection of Psalms, Psalm 133, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I have a strong sense that, we just have to pray for unity within SP, that we need to align ourselves with obviously the head of this church is Jesus Christ, and that the head that he's assigned to this church, as well as Pastor Sam and the pastoral team and the team that's been serving this church and sacrificing their time and energy just to build this church, and that we as the congregation here need to align ourselves with that vision. And so, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for that unity within SP, within the body, Lord. I pray that we are united as one, Lord God, and that you are overjoyed when you see the members of the church as one man, Father, as one person, that we're so united, that the hands and feet, at the eyes and ears, the hearts and minds are united, that we move as one, that we move with one vision, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray against any bickering. I pray against any gossip. I pray against slander. I pray against miscommunication. The enemy loves to miscommunicate, loves to deceive, Lord God. We rebuke that, Father. Instead, we have clarity of mind, clarity of communication, clarity of vision, clarity of the heart, Lord, that there's been a lot of, I have a sense that there's been a lot of miscommunication of the intentions of the heart. And I pray, Lord, for that unity as well, Lord God, and that your Spirit, Lord God, fill each and every single one of us. If we are, as Pastor Ricky preached two Sundays ago, Lord God, if we're cultivating a culture of the Holy Spirit, really, just to be filled with the Spirit, Lord God, then, Lord, I pray that we fast from anything that would cause that cultivation to slow down. Instead, Lord, I pray, Lord, for that cultivation to speed up, Lord God, and Lord, that your Spirit would just flow through each and every single one of us, that as we keep in step with the Spirit, Lord God, that we're united, Lord God. I pray that over this church, Father. In your Son's name I pray.
Father, we just want to pray against a spirit of religion, God, as we come into the retreat, Father. A spirit that would say that that our spiritual walk is just a habit, Father, that these things, it's formulaic, Father, that anything that would tell us that, oh yeah, this thing happens every year. I've been to other retreats and I know exactly what's going to happen this retreat. It's even the same speaker, God, so I expect the similar thing to happen as last year, Father. And Father, I know that you are real, Father. We know that you are real, that you are a living God, God. You are not a formula. You are not a prescription. You are not a medicine, but Father, that you are a living God. And you desire for a relationship with us, God. And you desire to encounter, to show that you are real and to give us fresh encounters in your name. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, as we come into this retreat time, Lord, that we put aside our preconceptions of what we understand retreat to be. We will put aside what preconceptions of what we even understand you to be and what church to be, God. And we come before you with just a childlike heart, Father, to worship you, God, to encounter you, Father, that we want to be a church that encounters you, God, to meet with you, Father, as you are and as you desire to reveal yourself to us, God, that we would open our hearts to you, God, that we would open it, Father, and to have a relationship. Father, I pray that this retreat, God, that you would reveal yourself to us as you are in your power and your might, but also in your intimacy, God, that we as your people might grow in our relationship with you, Father. Lord, that we will not depend on others, God, that we will not depend on others, Lord, to show us the way, but Lord, that we will depend on you, Father, to show us who you are, God. And so I pray, Lord, Father, against any thoughts, Lord, of expectations, Lord, that limit, Father, what you can do during this retreat, God, and that we open ourselves up in our spirit, in our hearts, God, to let you do whatever you desire to do in us, God. Have your way in us during this retreat, Father. Have your way in us, God. Have your way in us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God.
As Tyler, Jackie, and Aaron were praying, I received a word, but I felt like God didn't want me to say anything. And it wasn't until after Jackie finished that he said, go. And I believe it was an opportune time. Because I believe it was just the pastors that came up and spoke. It would seem very self-seeking. And not just self-seeking, but it would seem like it's just the leaders again telling the church to do something. But it's not. It's the people within the body. It's you guys. It was God that called them to come up first, to speak, to call this church into agreement, to stand under the leader of Christ and under the leader of the apostles set upon this church so that we can stand together. And he gave me Esther 4:14, for if you remain silent this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. And we know the story of Esther. She became one of the king's favorites. She became a queen. And her job was to come and bring deliverance. And she had a choice to make. Well, as a church, as a body, we have a choice to make. You are all royalty. It's not just the pastors that have been anointed. Each of you are royalty, made royalty by the blood of Christ. And you have a choice to make. Is this retreat going to be something that's going to be bringing breakthrough for you and unity for you? Is this retreat going to be a place where you cry out for God to do something with this church? Is it going to be a place where you decide where you want to be a part of the change that SP is going to make? Or where you're going to decide, no, I'm just going to let everyone else do it. This is not a word of rebuke. I don't feel like God calling me up here to say, hey, you guys need to do something. But I feel like in light of what Jackie has said, what Aaron has said, what Tyler has said, and for the timing for me to come up here now, after you guys have been the one to set the call, I feel like God is saying and encouraging and inviting you guys, are you going to take up this call? You're right. You know, Nate was right. Matt is out for this retreat. Who is going to take up the mantle to pray for this church? Just the leaders? Or are you as a church? Or are we as a body? Each of us as royalty, as the princes and the princesses crowned by Christ himself, are we going to take up this call to say, this is our church, this is our city, this is our leader in whom we love and whom we'll pray for? We are going to take up arms. We are going to make the choice to lift up this church. And so I say, not just for us here at EMP today, encourage those in your house church. Speak up to those who are not taking up arms. Tell them it is time that we do something. Because who knows whether we have not attained royalty for such a time as this. We are all called. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you. We will not serve ourselves. We will not serve our own voices. We will not serve our own desires and our own bodies. Lord, we will serve only you. God, use our voices for you, to prophesy for you, to pray for you, to bring life into this church for you, to intercede for you. And as we do that, Lord, to be able to pray for ourselves, God, for our leaders, God, for this church, God, for this body, Lord, convince and convict us to commit ourselves, Lord, to pray for this body and for the city, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Raise up more voices, God, within this body, God. Not just the leaders, God. Not just those in the ministers or the staff, God. But those in this church, God, that have been called with gifts, Lord, for this body, God. Lord, will you activate them, God, even starting today, Lord. Those that have intercessory gifts, Lord, prophetic gifts, Lord, gifts of healing, God, words of encouragement, Lord, words of knowledge and words of wisdom, God, of exhortation, God. Will you activate them, Lord, to serve this body, Lord, so that, Father, we may be an effective body that ministers, God, and an effective body of Christ, Lord, so that we can serve you, Lord, and to bring your glory, your name, your word into this world, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Juanita, intercessor for our church, she just is inviting anyone, if you want to stay until, she's going to be here till 11:30 to pray. So if you can, if you want to, you're invited to stay and pray along. Let's not be passive. It's time for us to be stirred up to really pray for our church. So let's really cry out. We're going to dismiss this time, but let's continue to pray. Let's continue to rely on the Lord and really just go before God and pray fervently. Labor with God in prayer for this church and for your friends and for your house church members and for our pastor. Thank you for coming up to pray. Let's pray together. God, thank you for waking us up, God. I thank you for the warning that you're giving to us, God. Thank you for your mercy, God, in waking us up to pray. And we repent, God, of our passivity. We repent of our just taking things for granted, God. We repent of our lack of prayer. And for our pride, God, in thinking, and our arrogance in thinking that we can go to this retreat and just do our own thing and just going through the motions, God. Lord, we don't want to go through the motions, Lord. I pray that you would wake us up, God. I pray that you would do something that only you can do, God. You are real, you are alive, and you are going to be at the retreat. Help us not to miss what you want to do at the retreat, God. So I just pray for our church. I pray for every single person here. I lift up our church, God, that we would be hungry. I rebuke the works of the enemy. I rebuke division, divisiveness. In Jesus' name, I pray for your protection, God, over our church. God, I pray against passivity and slumber and complacency. God, I pray that we would be awakened to pray, God, with fervency and with passion, God, and with expectation, God. Lord, wake us up, God. I pray against any hidden sin. Lord, if we have hidden sin in our lives, help us to come before you, come clean before you and repent so that your work can be done, God. Lord, I thank you for preparing us, God, for the retreat. But we're not done. Retreat is on Thursday, God. We have today and Wednesday and all of Thursday to pray. I pray that you would help us, God, to pray with power, pray with faith, God. And thank you for your mercy in waking us up, God. We worship you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray.